Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks so much for listening to Connecting Faith. Programs like this are possible thanks to listeners like you. You can find out more about supporting Faith Radio on our website, faithradionet.com.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Well, hello and welcome to the broadcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. I always appreciate your company every day here on Connecting Faith. And our goal, as we talk often here on the show, to help connect faith to life, to find ways that we can apply biblical principles to daily life situations. And something that takes up a great deal of our life for most of us is in the area of work. And today we want to talk a little bit about work and business, and particularly for those that maybe are in entrepreneurs, they have their own business or a small business, or they're just they're in a leadership position some place, and just looking at how we can live out our faith in business. What does that look like, business and faith? In fact, that is the title of a blog that my guest writes on regularly, businessandfaith.wordpress.com. I'll just throw that out there right away in case you're interested in making a note on that and enjoying our conversation today. But we're going to spend some time talking with Bill English, who's an industry leader, an author, an educator, specializing in SharePoint products and technologies. And he is the CEO of MindSharp and does a lot of business teaching and consulting and training, a former psychologist, and has become a friend. And we're happy to have him in studio today. We want to talk particularly today about stewardship and some of those things and business. So Bill, good to have you here. Welcome.
Well, thanks. I'm glad to be here.
And way back, Dark Ages actually, you know, I had a little stint in, the University Radio, right?
Didn't you? You know, I did. Back in college, I was on several radio stations in Indiana. Okay. Actually, they were adult contemporary stations, spun a lot of records, did news, weather.
Okay.
And
so a lot of transplants here to the Upper Midwest that remember, did you have a radio name, or was Bill English?
No, Bill
okay.
English.
Right.
You know,
well.
It was small town stuff, although sure. I was on one major market station for a while.
Okay. All right.
But that's it.
Yeah, well, we're not going to go any further on that, but that's, you know. And that's not really, you know, part of his qualifications. But we should talk about that, I guess, just maybe to introduce, because MindSharp is essentially what a training company, right?
Yeah, we are. We're a software training company. We're national in footprint, although we're located in Maple Grove. $3 million a year in sales, 14 employees, three part-timers, and we work with probably half a dozen contractors on top of that.
Sure. When did the principles of stewardship, biblical stewardship, sort of hit you? Was it something when you got into the business that, you know, I'm a believer, I want to, right from the outset, I want this to be about, you know, God's principles of business?
Yeah, it really was. The Lord plopped this business in my lap about 10 years ago. It was just me in a basement, and I happened to have written a book on SharePoint 2001 at the time. That was the first version of this software product from Microsoft. SharePoint is an information management and a collaboration product. And I had the only book for business people and IT pros, information technology professionals, on this product. So when 2003 version came out, I was probably one of the few people who even knew anything about 2003. And from there, the business just kind of got plopped into my lap, and it just started growing. And I felt like I was a little bit of a Keystone Cop, just hanging on for dear life. While this thing grew from me in a basement to roughly 65 employees and contractors in 2008. And because of my seminary background and because of my love for the Lord and my Christianity, I really felt like I had a unique responsibility to try to develop the business along Christian stewardship lines. And I'll be the first to admit that I've made a lot of mistakes along the way, but that was really where my interest came from. And ironically enough, I grew up in Indianapolis and went to the same Christian school for 13 years. One of the six people that I went to school with all 13 years has turned out to be in an endowed chair in the School of Theology at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in stewardship. And his name is Scott, and he and I are lifelong friends. And I've been to Dallas several times and have spent some time commiserating with him about Christian stewardship. And he's actually starting to bring that back into the seminary curriculum. And, you know, I'm a seminary-trained guy, so that has interest for me. So between my friendship with him and learning from him and just kind of downloading what God has been teaching me, that has not only piqued but furthered my interest in Christian stewardship.
It does seem like there has been over the years, and I would say that it's becoming more integrated now, but there was, you know, there was the church and faith life, there was the business life, and, you know, we heard maybe a message about stewardship at church when it had to do with a building fund or something.
Right,
But there really wasn't so much connection there.
Yeah, there really isn't. And I still think today that there isn't a lot of connection, quite frankly. At least when I was growing up, you know, I'm 52 years old now. When I was growing up, going onto the mission field or becoming a pastor seemed to be the higher level of Christian ministry. And if you were in business, well, there was a second class status attached with that. And I've really come to reject that notion and to look at people who are in business as having the same call and the same quality of call, I might add, as somebody who is in a pastorate or on the mission field or in some kind of a parachurch organization.
Talk about the quality of call. That's an interesting phrase that what's encompassed in that? That is, you know, it's one thing to be called, but that there's you put a quality element to that.
Yeah, I did, didn't I? Let's step back and look at what the call of God is, because you're going to have a hard time in Scripture finding anybody who teaches didactically on what the call of God is. There is no chapter or verse that we can go to and say, oh, this is how God calls somebody to ministry. And yet, clearly there are people who are called to certain things. And I think that's a result of their passions, their talents, their gifting, and probably some opportunity and training. And you mix those things together, and these are things that people just have to do, whether they get paid for it or not, whether they know they're going to be successful or not. It's just who they are. And I think that my experience in life, as well as looking at characters in the Bible and characters outside of the Scriptures, would point to the fact that there are just some people who are just called to lead in business and to create wealth for the kingdom. And I, frankly, I think I'm one of them. I've been in a Bible study with some friends for well over 10 years now, and I was telling them the last time we met that as difficult and as frustrating and as stressful as business ownership is, I don't think I could do anything else, at least not right now in this stage of my life. And, my wife looks at me like I'm just full of kookiness, which maybe I am. I don't know. So I don't know.
But that comes to us in our core, whatever it might be, that at the very center of us, you say, you know, I can't do anything else. I mean, other things may come up. Interesting. I like to consider this, but this is, for now, this is what I've got to do.
It is. It is. And I think that is God's call. And when you fulfill God's call, and when you're in the spot where you know you should be, it's kind of your sweet spot. You would do it whether you get paid or not. You would do it whether the crowds were cheering or not. Boy, that's when you know you're right where the Lord wants you.
You also talked about your calling to create wealth for the kingdom. That's controversial. I don't know if it's, but it's maybe a new thought for some people in terms of business. Hey, I'm a believer. I'm doing a job. I have a career, but creating wealth for the kingdom. That's expand that a little bit.
Well, yeah. Why did God create business?
Yeah, I guess we wanted. Did God create business?
Sure, he did.
Okay.
Sure, he did. Did he create capitalism? Did he create economic
systems? Depends on
what
your political party is, man. I don't know.
The Bible assumes private ownership.
It
assumes private property. Otherwise, the whole command on thou shalt not steal would be a meaningless command. So much of capitalism, or what we think of today as free enterprise system is built on the notion of basically two notions. One is the idea of self-preservation, and the other idea is the notion of private property and personal ownership of property. Both of those, then, that's one of the core foundations upon which you build Christian stewardship. And now I've forgotten your question about profits and business.
Yeah.
I think that God created, and this is Bill. This isn't Bible here, okay? So everybody listening, you just, okay, this is Bill talking. I think God created business so in the larger system that there would be wealth there to support kingdom activities. I don't think he created it to spend it on ourselves.
Which is a challenge, I think, for every business man or woman, particularly, I guess, an owner, say, you know, which gets down to stewardship, right? So, I mean,
it does.
Ownership is not the same as stewardship.
No, but ownership does carry stewardship with it, right? You know, if God entrusts you with something, then you are entrusted to steward that to his benefit and glory, not to yours. So, and look, go to Scripture. Just go to Scripture, and Scripture will tell you time and again that God owns everything, right? He owns everything on this whole earth. Psalm 50 will tell you that. He gave us our talents. That's why in Deuteronomy 8 he can say that he is the one who gives us the ability to produce wealth, right? I think is the exact phraseology there in Deuteronomy 8. So you look at that and you say, okay, God gave me a business. He gave me the ability to produce wealth. The wealth that I create out of there is to be stewarded for the Lord. And so, Lord, what do I do with this wealth? Now, at the same time, you're also stewarding risk. When you own a business, you're also stewarding risk. And so, you know, what is the biblical view of risk, and what is the biblical view of acceptable risk? And that's a whole other topic that I suppose we could get off on. But profits out of a business are good. Profits are a social good. They're a spiritual good. Luke 19, the parable of the 10 talents, talks about that. And it was assumed in the interaction between the master and those who were stewarding those talents that he gave them that they would produce a profit for him. And that's not just a profit of your innate talent, the personal talent that he gives you, but it's also profit with money. And so it just seems to me that profits, when stewarded properly, are a good thing, and that they are used to help further the kingdom on this earth, to fund those activities.
Bill English is my guest today. He's CEO of MindSharp, and he blogs regularly at a site called businessandfaith.wordpress.com. And we're talking today about biblical stewardship, business, and faith, and connecting the two. And we'd love to have you join the conversation. You may have a question about it. Maybe you are a business owner and just have some questions about what it means to live out your faith day by day at work. Talking work, business, marketplace, profits, risk, all those things. We'll get to more in just a minute. Thanks for joining us. You can call us to be a part of the conversation at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. Or you can always connect with us online. It's faithradionet.com. And then click on the Connecting Faith show page, faithradionet.com. And we'll continue with Bill English in just a minute.
Frederick Buechner shares from his book, Wishful Thinking, that maybe the reason God doesn't explain to Job why terrible things happen is that he knows what Job needs isn't an explanation. Hey, this is Debbie Griffith with Everyday Matters. Suppose that God did explain. Suppose that God were to say to Job that the reason the cattle were stolen, the crops ruined, and the children killed was thus and so, spelling everything out right down to and including the case of boils. Job would have his explanation, but Job would still have to face his kids' empty chairs at breakfast every morning. Having a complete theological justification of his boils, he would still have to scratch and burn. God doesn't reveal his grand design. He reveals himself. He doesn't show why things are as they are. He shows his face. And Job says, "I'd only heard about you before, but now I have seen you with my own eyes." And this is the same God we too can see every day. Find encouragement for your day at DebbieGriffith.com.
Beyond the Call with Wayne Peterson.
It's 19 past the hour, and you are listening to Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stabem, and it's great to have you along. We are talking today with Bill English. Bill's an industry leader, an author, and educator specializing in SharePoint products and technologies. He's CEO of MindSharp, and we're talking today about business and faith, and particularly about biblical stewardship. And Bill, I want to get back to me talking about a few biblical principles, some of those underlying guidelines as a business man or woman today, maybe what's at the core. But I am curious, you made a comment about when this business venture of yours sort of dropped in your lap. You said you've kind of been hanging on for dear life. And I thought, you know, that's probably where a lot of folks listening right now are at. They are just hanging on for dear life. Give us a sense of maybe a little bit of the big picture in the world of business today. I mean, is it hanging on for dear life for a lot of folks?
You know, in some pockets of the economy, it is. Other pockets are actually doing quite well. And it really depends on the vertical and what your product mix and what your customer mix is as to whether you're doing well or not. I can tell you I'm in the training world. And one of the first things to go when budgets are cut is travel and training. And since our business model 7 years ago, was built on travel and training, people would travel to us to take high-end training. Boy, we really... You know, we've really had some difficult times in my business. So,
well, and let's talk about that, because that's there are a lot of people that are in that difficult times have become sort of the norm. Does your biblical understanding of stewardship, does that help you in facing difficult times?
It does. And I'm probably going to say some things here that a number of people won't agree with, but hopefully it'll be thought-provoking, and just know that it's said in love and really from a heart that's trying to follow the Lord. I have had to learn that Christian stewardship has to, at least in business ownership, has to focus on profit first, rather than making people happy, specifically employees happy, first. If an organization isn't profitable, and it really doesn't matter whether it's a for-profit or a non-profit here, Neil, if the organization isn't profitable, it's not going to survive. And if the organization doesn't survive, then everybody loses their jobs. So, unfortunately, I've had to really focus on profitability as my primary role of a steward. There are many who are going to disagree with me and there will be variations on a theme, and they will say, you know, taking care of your employees is your primary objective. And I would say that that is certainly an important objective and a visceral objective of any organization, because your organization really is the people who work there. Again, whether it's for a nonprofit doesn't really matter. But in the end, in our economic system, if the organization isn't profitable, it's not going to survive. It just isn't. So I've had to learn that stewardship is as much about profitability as anything else.
So that really... I mean, that puts the emphasis then really on, I guess, on, I was going to say, on having the right people to start with, but maybe that isn't even the factor, is it? I mean, if you're not, you may have all the right people, but if you're not profitable, then...
Well, there's kind of three legs to the stool there. You have to have the right people in the right places. You have to have the right products that your customers are willing to part money with, or for, I should say. And then you have to have, at least in my business, the right marketing. And so now, beyond all of that, you have to have, you know, your core purpose and your core values and your vision and your mission and all that. But at the tactical layer, you have to have its products, people, and I think marketing.
So is the core value it's not enough just to provide people a place to work? I mean that, or if I mean, does profit have to be at that core?
It does. It does. If you're not profitable, nothing else really matters. And I know that that's going to be kind of a lightning rod type of statement for many of the listeners out there. But if the organization isn't profitable, then the organization's going to fold.
Talking today with Bill English, talking about biblical stewardship. Let's talk about, some of the, the foundational principles that have guided you and maybe help us expand our understanding of stewardship a little more.
Yeah, so the biblical principles that I really rely on are not difficult, but they are foundational, as it were. First of all, God owns everything. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and all that it contains. Proverbs 50:10-12 ends by David, God saying, the world is mine and all that is in it. And really, God is the source of everything. He literally created all that is out of nothing. You can get that from Genesis 1, obviously. And it isn't just physical things he created, Neil. He created systems. He created people. He created personality. He created love. He created humor. He created everything. Everything comes from God. And whether you like or don't like the economic systems that we have, and I will caveat this by saying we have certainly figured out how to screw it up, but economic systems in and of themselves were created by God. And that is part of what he had. And then the fact that he gives us everything that we have, he really does. That means that I don't have any room to talk about I don't have any room for arrogance. I'll put it this way. I don't have any room for arrogance to talk about what I have built. And the far right likes to talk about rugged individualism. No, really, God played a central role in your ability to do what you're doing. And so those are really two foundational biblical principles that I rely on. And so if he gave it to me and I'm messing it up, then I need to fix it. So.
And how do you, you're in a company with, more than a dozen coworkers, employees. How about passing that? Passing that on to them, is it a matter of where we publicly state here, these are sort of the two foundational principles that we operate on, or is it just a matter of, I'm just going to live it out and the decisions that I make, it'll be evident?
That's a great question. In my company, at least, we have a set of core values that are disseminated to the employees and to everybody who works there. But the principles I've just enumerated here are my personal principles that provide the context in which I run my business. And they really provide the context in which some of my decisions are made. And they have informed my decision-making on a number of levels. The core values, though, of honesty, integrity, professionalism, that kind of thing, those come out of some of my own personal beliefs, but I don't take my personal beliefs here necessarily and put them in as the core values of the organization.
And is there maybe an example that comes to mind of how those foundational principles have helped you in decision making? I think that's one of the biggest challenges probably for CEOs or entrepreneurs or whatever it is making wise decisions.
Yeah. So great question. And so here's when I employ somebody, because I'm majority owner in the company, I'm really taking my money and giving it to another person in exchange for their labor. When their labor is substandard, I have a stewardship responsibility before the Lord to say, I'm not spending your money, God, wisely. And so it's up to me to either improve that labor and work with that person to improve the quality of the labor that they're putting into the business, or to help them transition out of the business. That would be an example.
Not easy to do.
No. But God doesn't call us to easy things, Neil. Does he?
I was kind of hoping, but apparently you're disabusing me of that that theory. So yeah.
I mean, really, if it was easy, yeah, Everybody would do it. So
does it take? Are you inclined to think that it takes a certain kind of character to actually be a business owner, to run a business?
It does. It does. Not everybody's cut out for it. It takes somebody who, and look, I am not the poster child for how to do this perfectly. Yeah. Believe me, I've made enough mistakes in my life that just about everybody who's ever worked with me could point a finger and say, geez, you know, Bill, you're a little hypocritical talking about this on the air. And I probably would plead guilty to that. But it does take a certain character to do this. And it's really not unlike being a senior pastor. Senior pastors oftentimes are very entrepreneurial-ish, as are missionaries.
Talking today with Bill English. You're welcome to join the conversation if you'd like. We're talking business, talking stewardship, biblical stewardship, talking about how we make those decisions at work. And we're going to talk a little bit more about hiring and firing and all those kinds of things. And we'll deal with business alliances and partnerships with unbelievers. How do we live out our faith day by day in the workplace? Welcome you to join the conversation at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. Bill English is CEO of MindSharp and our guest today on Connecting Faith. And we'll continue our conversation in just 2 minutes. Past the hour, and this is Connecting Faith. And today, talking a little bit about the world of work, about business and faith. In fact, you can read a bit more about what we're talking about today on the blog called Business and Faith, one word, businessandfaith.wordpress.com. Bill English writes there regularly. He's CEO of MindSharp, industry leader, author, and educator, and a consultant. We're talking about the world of work and business and being your own. Being in charge and some of the challenges. And just before the break, Bill, we're talking a little bit about the challenges about, you know, investing God's money in someone who is underperforming. I'm thinking that the hiring and firing thing is probably just as difficult as anything for a business owner, and certainly for the employee that's getting on the short end of that. Any advice?
I have several observations here. If you're a business owner out there, you're probably going to, or a business leader, actually, you're probably going to identify with some of this. First of all, in nearly all of the firings that I've been involved with in the last 4 years, and I've fired over 20 people in the last 4 years, I could point to just as much culpability on the part of the company. Now, I shouldn't say everyone, most of them. I could point to culpability on the part of the company as well as on the part of the employee. Anytime you have either you're lacking job descriptions or you're lacking a clear job description that is tied to clear performance metrics, you create an environment where there's ambiguity both for the employer and the employee, and that's not good for either side. That's not good for either party, because then neither party really knows what the expectations are and what defines success, and by definition, then what defines failure. So I can tell you that the employer has to just be crystal clear in what the expectations are, how those expectations are going to be measured. And then they have to do regular reviews with that person to say, Are you progressing? Are you getting done what we need to get done? Are you achieving, basically? If any one of those things are lacking, there is certainly something on the part of the employer that's saying, you know, you're just not doing your part in this relationship. However, I've had plenty of employees who knew what the standard was, and they just didn't perform. And there have been times when I've had very good Christian people lie right to my face. And I don't know how other Christians handle this, but it usually comes to light. And I have to give that over to the Lord and say, you know, I can't deal with that on the moral basis. All I can do is deal with their employment situation and let them go and let God deal with them however he's going to do it. So the first thing is, you have to have good, clear expectations on the part of the employee. And then secondly, you have to build a good relationship of trust between yourself and the employee so that they're willing to be honest with you when they screw up. I've told people more than a few times that I don't care as much if you mess up as if you mess up and don't tell me so that I can help you fix it. Now, there's a lot of people who won't tell you when they really mess up. And that's not a good thing, because then now you as the employer are dealing with a situation that isn't as you see it. And the employee is trying to hide something from you. And that's just not a good situation for either party. So
I was thinking, as you're talking about the importance of clarity and understanding what's expected in performance, that the word that came to mind was micromanaging. So is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a neither thing. It's okay. Neither good nor bad. Micromanagement, having performance expectations, is not micromanagement.
Okay.
It's just saying here's what I need this position to do, and here's what I'm willing to compensate for this position to do it, right? And if they don't do that, then it's not that they're bad people. They're probably pretty good people. And it's not that they're untalented or unqualified for something. It's just that in this business, for this position, it's not a good fit, and they need to move along. And then you as an employer need to do a much better job of hiring next time. So,
which is, I guess it always comes back to that, right? Do it right on the front end.
Yeah, you do it right on the front end. So, you know, there's that phrase, be quick to fire, slow to hire kind of thing. And that's a phrase I hear fairly often at CEO groups.
Okay. Talk about how you're able to communicate your faith in the workplace, and is that something that is done personally in conversation? Is it corporately? One of our regular callers, Frank, for example, says, "So, what's the role of corporate prayer in your organization? Is there a, you know, just talk about sort of that living out the faith day by day? Do we just live it out, or do we talk about it, or how does it work for you?"
That has changed for me over the years. And some are going to see this as a degradation of my Christianity in the business world, what I'm about to tell you. Initially, we prayed all the time in my business, and we'd just make it voluntary, and the employees could come every day and pray. As the workloads increased, less and less people were able to come because they were working. They were never cajoled or prodded to come or anything like that. And when the real intense heat hit my business, the prayer times just went away in the business. My personal prayer times actually increased. I don't know that there is anything in Scripture that says, praying within an organization is somehow more spiritual or beneficial to that organization. I think what really matters is the personal morality of the owners or the principals in the business before the Lord, and how well they're hearing His voice and following Him and loving God and those kinds of things. Today, we don't have prayer times at all in my business. My lawyers have told me, who happen to be Christian, that that's a good thing because of the current employment law and how I could potentially have some employment issues on my hands if I kept praying and mentioning God and that kind of thing. But that doesn't stop me from time to time in a staff meeting before we eat, praying with the staff for the food. It doesn't stop me from mentioning the Lord in my staff meetings, which I do on occasion. I don't do it every staff meeting, but it isn't uncommon for me to talk about that either. But it's also in my organization, your faith is not a hiring requirement. It just isn't. We do not ask about faith. We don't ask about what church you go to or anything like that, not only because we're not allowed to based on the law, but because I'm genuinely just looking for the best person to do this job, whether they're a Christian or not. So
are there opportunities maybe individually? Employer stops by the office, employee stops by the office. They kind of talk to you about this. I mean, do you look for times like that?
Or? Yeah, we've had that in the past. Okay. We've had that in the past, and I certainly follow through with those. And when they ask about my faith or about Christianity, or they just say, I know you're a Christian and I'm not, and I just want to ask you this one question. I'll answer it directly, and then I'll let them deal with it and let them pursue other questions if they want to. We walk a fine line. See, you're here at KTIS, and you're in management, but you're a Christian organization, and I think that you're allowed to discriminate based on faith by the fact of your nonprofit status and some of the other things. I'm not allowed to do that. So I have to really let the people come to me a lot more than I'm able to go to them legally.
Maybe there is a word to say, though, that those might be listening are maybe in nonprofits or other ministries that, you know, there's maybe an assumption that, well, we have to have times together of, you know, prayer and study or something that, I mean, as you were talking about, you know, there's a point when the work gets busy, we need you to do the work. Do you praying at home? Or?
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, I'm on the board of a nonprofit, a crisis pregnancy center nonprofit here in the Twin Cities. They meet at my office and we pray. It's not uncommon for me to have other business leaders over to my office and to pray with them. So I don't know. What I will not buy into, I'll put it this way.
Okay.
I'll put it in a negative, and this will probably, I don't know what this will do, but I don't buy into the legalistic notion that somehow I'm a better Christian business owner if I'm praying weekly or daily with my staff. I don't know. I wouldn't buy into that.
Talk about maybe one of the challenges, and maybe this isn't a challenge, as you've kind of talked about. You hire people that you think are the best for the job, but as a Christian business owner trying to operate by Christian business principles, how do you deal with the business alliances or partnerships with unbelievers? I mean, does that factor in at all?
I wouldn't enter into ownership with an unbeliever. I think that would, for my interpretation of the unequally yoked passage in Corinthians, that would be a violation of what God has clearly stated. But it's impossible to do business today without working with unbelievers. So there's a lot of unbelievers who are rather ethical, and they're good people, and they're good people to work with. One of my best friends in the industry that I'm in is over in the UK. He wants nothing to do with God, but I tell you what, he's a great guy to work with, and I've been working with him for 10 years. I've shared my faith with him, and he just has zero interest in church or God or the Christianity or anything. But that doesn't mean he's a bad guy to work with. He isn't. I fully trust this guy to do the right thing. So
we started out talking about you know, understand the call and quality of call in business. So do you look at part of your calling as an opportunity to say this is not only the marketplace, but it's also a mission field?
Of course. Of course. You go ask anybody in the SharePoint vertical about Bill English, and probably there will be two things that come up, and I won't mention one of them because it's not germane to this program, but the other one is my Christianity. I've been very open on my blogs and in the old days on the news groups, back when we did news groups and bulletin boards and that kind of thing. Yeah, everybody knows. And, you know, really, I got to walk the talk, right? I don't know. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I do, but I try.
Where's the rub for you in terms of walking the talk? Is it anger or what? I mean, just when it's, you know, kind of at the end of the day, you look back and say, yeah, didn't really the light wasn't shining so bright there. So.
Boy, that's a penetrating question.
All right, why don't we take a break, and we'll come back in a minute. You can we'll put you on the spot here. You can answer that or dodge it if you'd like. The number is 877-93-FAITH.
Thanks, Neil.
877-933-2484. Bill English is my guest. We're talking business and faith. More in a minute.
Beyond the Call with Wayne Peterson, president of HCJB Global.
Viola Baptist might be a small church, but for 145 years, it has served as a backbone of its community. A lot of it has to do with a group of men known as the Brotherhood. They've been actively doing Bible study for 42 years, along with community outreach. The men regularly take up a collection for those in their community who are in need of groceries or other items. They also take care of the sick in their community by cutting their grass or taking care of household fix-it needs. The men that serve hope they can continue to pass this attitude of kindness down to the next generations following them. Take care of the people around you. Go beyond the call. And visit us online at hcjb.org.
For more stories of men and women going beyond the call, visit hcjb.org.
It's quarter to one. You're listening to Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem, and my guest is Bill English. And when we were last talking here with Bill, he was getting ready to confess his shortcomings here on air all across the Faith Radio Network, which we're kind of excited about. But Bill is CEO of MindSharp, author and educator, and we're talking about business and faith. And I am curious, though, you know, just that we talk about as a believer in a business, say, you know, you want to let your walk match your talk. So
yeah.
Where are the tension points for you in
so
that?
The real tension point for me is not talking at the right time to the right people and saying what I know the Holy Spirit's prompting me to say. That really is a tension point for me. It's so much easier to be quiet than it is to speak up sometimes. And I say that a little bit to my shame. And a little bit as, you know, maybe this is a public confession, I don't know. But I, you know, I genuinely love people, and I genuinely want to go to heaven and take as many people with me as I can, right? But having the discernment of knowing what to say and when to say it is, you know, that apples of gold and settings of silver
yeah.
is... I think that's a difficult thing for me. And yet I know that there have been times when I have opened up and spoken to people about their faith, and they have spoken to me about what's going on in their life and that kind of thing. But I would say the fear of speaking up is probably the thing I struggle with the most.
So not so much in terms of a maybe a correction, but just in a conversation that, you know, God seems to be prompting, or in any situation.
Yeah, you know, and I look in my industry, my colleagues are not here in Minneapolis for the most part. They're spread out literally all over the world, and I'll see them once or twice a year at various conferences. I'll see them in April in London. I'll see them back here in May, here in Minneapolis and some other places, but. And the way that they congregate and socialize is to go out and have food and socialize in various settings. And that's where those kind of conversations come up. And, you know, it's hard for me sometimes to say what really needs to be said.
You find yourself coming back to maybe a passage or two, or, you know, you read Proverbs every day or something that seems to just, you know, help you kind of reframe, remind you again about those foundational principles of stewardship, why you're doing what you're doing. So.
You know, the book, you know, the thing that has helped me the most to reframe that has been the book 90 Minutes in Heaven. And I know this is coming out of the blue, you know, it's out of left field here. But that book has done more to change my focus in life, to realize that my time really is limited, and then what I do today really has eternal consequences. I have a good friend in Alabama who says, if it doesn't matter in 100 years, you probably don't need to focus on it. And he's right in a lot of ways. You know, will it matter in 100 years? Probably not. But how I did it might matter, or who I touched might matter. So, but the foundational truth is that God owns everything. Whatever wealth I can create, that ability is given to me by God. And that my responsibility is simply to do what I've been called to do and to shepherd whatever wealth he gives me based on what he is telling my wife and I to do. I'm good. That's really drives a lot of what I do.
So does your business, do you look at it, sort of the spreadsheets and say, well, X percentage of whatever profits come in is going to advanced kingdom?
Yeah, we used to, when we were profitable, we used to tithe out of the business on an annual basis. We have, our profitability has been up and down in this economy, so we have not been tithing out of the business. We personally always tithe, and because of the way that the business is structured, all the giving actually has to flow through me personally anyways. So, but yeah, we always give.
And that's, I would think another principle, isn't it, in terms of business? I mean, why, if you understand why you're in business, then it makes sense to say that it's there's an end beyond the profit and loss sheet.
Right. I mean, the profits are the goal of the business, but the use of those profits is for kingdom purposes, is what God has called me to. Okay. The business is a means to an end. It's not the end in and of itself. So, you know.
I'm interested if you have opportunity to interact with your pastor and maybe other pastors, church leaders. How can the church maybe more effectively affirm the call of the marketplace and maybe help you as a business owner or business leader?
I think that's tough. Because I think politics plays a fairly big role in how people view business ownership. I'll give you an example. This is about 3 or 4 years ago now in the church that I'm currently attending. Well, it can't be more than 4 years because I've only been going there 3.5. But it was early on when I was attending there. And in the Sunday school class that we were in, the conversation was meandering. And it meandered into business profits for about 30 or 45 seconds, then meandered right out to something else. I forget the connection there. But the person one seat away from me, okay, mutters under this individual's breath. And this individual says, well, you have to be greedy if you're going to be profitable in business. And I don't think anybody else heard it but me. And I thought, really? Really? I think there's a fundamental disconnect between what we do as business owners and what at least some in the evangelical community view what we do. So what can the church do? I think the masses need to be educated along really what stewardship is. It's not just about money. You know, you asked me earlier about the foundation of stewardship. I'll tell you, stewardship starts with a relationship. Neil, you own something, and you give it to me. You entrust it to me. The only way I'm really going to be able to steward that with any fidelity in your eyes is if I know you, if I know what you love, if I know what you're about, if I'm able to do what you would have done and know what that is, okay? So when God gives us something to do, you know, gives us something to steward, you have a radio station here to steward, right? Our producer here has a control board to steward, and I might say he's doing a wonderful job of it when he's paying attention. So, oh, I'm just kidding. Come on. Just a little joke, you know, lighten it up here. But, when God gives us something to steward, the only way we're really going to know what to do with that is if we know God, okay? So if the church were to take that tact with business owners and to say, oh, business owners have a unique stewardship responsibility before the Lord, and they are people who really need to know God, I think it would – just think of how that might begin to change people's view of what a guy like me or a gal like in my position would do and how they would view that. I don't know if that's a good answer for your question.
No, I think that's that, because it's easy to criticize, isn't it? And I would think that even you know, you probably get other Christian business men and women probably you know are quick to lob criticisms at you know how you operate your business or
actually they're the ones who are most accommodating.
Okay.
I've been in both an Allied Execs and a Vistage group, and I can tell you I've been with. I can name some business owners here who have, you know, well into the $300-500 million range, and I'm in the same group with them, and I'm just this little small fry, $3 million. They are just the most humble people I've ever met. I have yet to meet successful business people, at least in my interaction, who are genuinely arrogant, because all of them have made so many mistakes, just like me. We all feel like we're the poster child for how to do business wrong. And we've learned through the school of hard knocks. And the MBAs don't matter. You know, we've learned through the school of hard knocks. The people who tend to be really critical of us are people who have not walked in our shoes, who have not risked their own house, their own, I've made my million-dollar mistake. I have lost. There was one business venture where I look back and over a period of 3 years, I lost $1.3 million. Now, you go home and have that conversation with your wife and just figure out how that goes. And that's entrepreneurship.
Thinking about, and Jim Collins talked about that level five leader, and that humility is really, that is the key, isn't it?
It is. It is.
Understanding, and it comes back to the, you have true humility when you understand those foundational principles that God owns it all, and it all comes from God.
It really does.
And God disperses it as he chooses.
And he gives gifts as he chooses, and he is absolutely 100% sovereign. And, I'm not a hyper-Calvinist here, but boy, I tell you what, if God isn't sovereign, then he's not God.
And that probably helps you get through the down cycles too, doesn't it? So.
It does, because every trial that comes is a testing of our faith, James 1 says, right? And so everything that happens is because God, that is part of God's plan for my life. And in the end, all God really cares about, and more than a lot of this other business stuff, is for you and me and you to have our characters conform to the image of Jesus Christ. That's really what it's about. Now, whether he does that through ministry or business or something else, it's really what it's about.
Any last-minute word for those thinking about starting their own business?
Let's do a different show on that.
Okay.
Let's come back and talk about how to start and run a business.
Right. The one thing you wouldn't do?
The one thing I wouldn't do, not know what I'm going to do.
Okay.
That's a complex deal.
Yeah. We'll do another show on that. That'll be good. So, Bill English is my guest. You can find out about Bill's thoughts. Maybe interact if you like with him on the blog. It's businessandfaith.wordpress.com. Businessandfaith.wordpress.com. Bill, CEO of MindSharp, and I look forward to having you back on and talking some more about it.
Oh, that'd be fun. I'd like to come back.
Good. Bill English joining us today here on Connecting Faith. So glad to have you tuned in. And I encourage you to join in tomorrow on, it'll be the conversation, right? It's Friday, the conversation tomorrow. They're going to talk a little bit about recovery from addictions. It'll be a timely topic as well. And plus, there's always a lot of good fun with the gals each Friday. And coming up today on Live the Promise, Susie Larson welcomes Pastor James Merritt to talk about the book Still Standing. He knows how it is to stand up when you've been knocked down. So how do you stay standing? We'll find out more about that on Live the Promise, coming up at 3.